Well, tonight we begin a new series studying the book of Judges, the book of Judges. After concluding our study on the life and ministry of the prophet Elisha, and then topical studies on why God allows suffering, how to have victory over faith, and then last week with Pastor Torres delivering the message, the negative and positive sides of parenting, we now begin a new journey in a new book of the Bible on Wednesday evenings, the book of Judges. So with that said, let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, I've been waiting all day to do that to you. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And you responded well, I appreciate that. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Very familiar text here, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Before we begin examining the book of Judges, I thought it would be beneficial to have an introductory message that leads up to our study of the book itself. And there are several important truths that I wish to bring before us tonight. I wish to emphasize about the book before we dissect, discover, and delight in the book. So tonight's lesson is more of an introduction to the book of Judges. And we begin here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. And the first question I want to answer in this introduction about the book of Judges is, why should we study the book of Judges? Why, out of all the books, have I chosen this particular book, the book of Judges, to teach on Wednesday nights? Why do I, as the pastor, think it is spiritually beneficial to us, for us, as a church, to spend time hearing from this particular book and hearing so for many, many months? Well, let me give you six main reasons why we should be familiar with the book of Judges, six main reasons why we as a church should study this book together. Number one, it is important to study the book of Judges because it is the Word of God. It was God's will to include the book of Judges in the canon of Scripture, the collection of 66 books from Genesis to Revelation that we hold as being breathed out by God, inspired by the Holy Spirit. And knowing that the book of Judges is the inspired Word of God should then persuade us to know its contents. God gave us the historical truths recorded in the book of Judges for a specific purpose. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. It is profitable to learn from. It is profitable to exhort us. It is profitable to correct us and to point us in the right way to walk. And so there are helpful lessons about the Christian life and how to grow in grace as we open up the book of Judges. And the book of Judges is just as authoritative as the book of Genesis, as the book of Proverbs, as the Gospel of John. And I think often the temptation is to place certain books on different levels. The Gospel of John is greater than the book of Judges. The epistles of Paul are greater than the minor prophets. We're more familiar with one and less familiar with the other. But we need to understand that all Scripture is Scripture, and all Scripture has been given to us for our profit. It's important to study the book of Judges because it's the Word of God. It should persuade us then to know its contents, and then should persuade us to have its contents preached. If it is the Word of God, if the book of Judges is part of the canon of Scripture, and it is, we should desire to hear it preached. Preach the word. Paul told Timothy, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. The word that Paul was referring to was the Old Testament. Remember, as Paul is writing this to Timothy, the New Testament is being completed. And so all Scripture, and then preached the Word, is referring to the Old Testament. And Timothy was to preach the whole counsel of God. He was to preach creation. He was to preach the fall of man. He was to preach the promise of the Redeemer. He was to preach about the birth of the nation of Israel. Timothy was to preach all the truths found in the historical books, in the books of poetry, and in the books of the prophets. This was given to him as a charge, as a preacher, to preach the whole counsel of God. So God gave the book of Judges to us as a divine gift of spiritual wisdom. And so then we must treasure it as that. We must treasure the book of Judges as a gift from God. So it's important to study the book of Judges because it is the Word of God. That's first. Second, it is important to study the book of Judges because it is history. It is history. What is written in the book of Judges is not action-packed stories created by men for the sake of our entertainment. And we will find out that there are action-packed stories that can entertain. There are stories in Judges that are very rare and very different from the rest of Scripture. But the book of Judges was not merely created by the will of man to entertain us. It was not given to us so that the Sunday school teacher can have the flannel graph and show these cool stories. The events are real historical events. What we read in the book of Judges is real world history. Just as real as the Industrial Revolution, just as real as the world wars, the history of Judges is true. And sometimes we fail to appreciate this because we seem so distant in time from that day. And sometimes the providential and supernatural events that are recorded in Judges seem so unbelievable that it distances us from its reality. Or is this true? Did this really happen? How could this happen? And when we go to the Word of God, we must remember that this is history. And what do we say of history? Just divide the word history, his story. His story. This is God's story. The story of God's providence, the story of God's sovereignty. It's the story of how God, the master weaver, weaves all things together to ensure that his promises are kept. Specifically, those gospel promises given to Adam and given to Abraham. So this is his story. It's history. And knowing history does two things. Knowing history encourages us. We know that God is over all. When we read history, we're encouraged by this. When we read about history, we see that man is not sovereign. Man is not God. God is over man. And even though man makes sinful choices, nations may ruin themselves, God's purposes are being executed through it all. His will is being done. God's will be done. When you read history, when you read the Old Testament, there are times your heart is just warmed. You see the Israelites down. You see them spiritually compromising. And then you read of God's mighty work to bring revival, restoration to their hearts. And so studying history encourages us, helps us to know that we've gone through this before. Helps us to know that God will see us through it as he has with other people in the past. And then knowing history also does this. Knowing history also warns us. It not only encourages us, it warns us. You've heard it said before, those who fail to learn from history are doomed to repeat it. And this is a warning to us. And we learn in the book of Judges where straying from God's commandments can lead God's children. This is a warning to us. We learn what happens to society as a whole when it willfully rebels against God. As we look at Judges, we will learn from the lessons of positive examples and bad examples. The book of Judges records both good and bad examples so that we can learn from. So we need to study the book of Judges because it is history. Our third point. It is important to study the book of Judges so that we become familiar with the entire Bible. Some of these dovetail together. Many Christians have the tendency to focus the majority of their scripture reading and study of the Bible in the New Testament. They know the Gospels. They know the accounts of Christ and His life and ministry. We're familiar with the epistles. And same thing with preachers behind the pulpit. Preachers tend to emphasize the New Testament books. They're easy to preach. But this practice is not healthy. We need balance in our lives. Again, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. The book of Judges is Scripture. Therefore, we need to know it. A.W. Tozer said, quote, "The Word of God, well understood and religiously obeyed, is the shortest route to spiritual perfection or spiritual maturity. And we must not select a few favorite passages to the exclusion of others. Nothing less than a whole Bible can make a whole Christian." In other words, A.W. Tozer says, we need to know the entire Word of God so that we might be spiritually mature. God gave us all of Scripture to help us in all areas of life. Nothing less than a whole Bible can make a whole Christian. And just like it is in a diet, we need more than just meat to be healthy. Though that can be hard to believe at times. You just want meat. Well, you need fruit and vegetables. You need your grains. You need a well-balanced diet. And so it is with the Word of God. This is our diet. If we only stay in the New Testament, we will miss the riches of the Old Testament. If we only stay in Proverbs and Psalms every day, we will miss the treasures of the gospel truths that are delivered throughout the Word of God. We're familiar with the portions of the Pentateuch. We know the creation. We know about the birth of Israel. We know the journeys of Israel. We're familiar with Joshua and his conquests, the walls of Jericho coming down. We know and love the story of Ruth. What lady doesn't love that love story? We know the courage of Esther. We know the life of David and Daniel and his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We know Psalms. We know Proverbs. But rarely do we recite the wonderful works of God recorded in the book of Judges. Rarely do we hear sermons from this book of the Bible, so it's important for us to study. Number four, it's important to study the book of Judges because it resembles our day. It is recorded twice in the book of Judges, Judges 17:6 and Judges 21:25. The following verse, word for word, "In those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes." Now, we must be careful and we need to be balanced here. Many take these two verses and paint the whole book with these two verses, and they viewed the Judges as one of the darkest periods in Israel's history. I'm going to show you how that's a mistake. The book of Judges teaches us that we live in a similar day, a day of spiritual compromise. And this is found all throughout the Old Testament, not just the period of Judges. Look through 1st and 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Chronicles, and it's like this. It's a spiritual roller coaster. Bad king, good king, bad king, bad king, bad king, bad king, good king, bad king, and it's just all over the place. And falling into sin, reforming, getting rid of the Word of God, finding the Word of God, and rejoicing. And so it is with the book of Judges. We find that God's people were involved in corrupt worship and idolatrous practices. We find their disobedience to the commandments will lead to God's judgment. We find their willful rebellion against the Lord and the Lord giving them up to eat of the fruit of their own ways. We find that God's blessing was not upon them because they did not humble themselves. They did not acknowledge their sin to God. They did not turn to Him with a broken and contrite spirit. And the day of Judges serves as a parallel to our day. Our society is drinking down iniquity like water. Christians are compromising. Churches are compromising. Churches are worldly. God's judgment, then, because of our disobedience, is upon us. We're not seeing God's Spirit move as He did in years past. And this is a sign of God's judgment. God is giving our nation over to foolishness, stupidity. This is a sign of God's judgment. And so there's this cycle going on in the book of Judges. And the cycle goes on today. And just study world history and you see Christianity rise, Christianity fall. Christianity rise and Christianity fall. Look at our nation. There have been revivals and then the retracting from the Word of God. And then revivals and retracting, and there's this cycle. And so we're going to see that this cycle is continuing in the book of Judges, much like our day. And that's much like our personal lives, isn't it? And sometimes we personally, in our life, we fall in the valley of unbelief, the valley of doubt, the valley of depression, the valley of disobedience. And then God brings us the Word of God and there's restoration, there's blessing, there's joy, there's encouragement, there's peace. And it's a cycle, isn't it? And we can see a New Testament minute example in Peter. Peter, I'll never deny you. He denies Christ. Jesus, you're not going to die. Get behind me, Satan. And then Peter, what was Peter? Up, down. Picture of us. We're up, we're down. We're up, we're down. And so we're going to see that it's important to study the book of Judges because it resembles our day and it resembles us. Then number five, it's important to study the book of Judges because it teaches us many spiritual lessons that will help us grow in our walk with God. Again, this dovetails points 1 through 3, but it's needful to be aware of. Again, I'm going to emphasize this so that we might look at the Old Testament as something that's profitable. I'm alarmed at how many Christians are unfamiliar with the Old Testament. Again, we know the stories of David and Goliath and Daniel and the lion's den. We know those. Those are popular. Those are some of the greatest stories that we teach children. But we need to know the entire Old Testament. Romans 15:4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. 1 Corinthians 10:11, now all these things happen unto them, Israel, for in samples, and they are written for our admonition, our learning, our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. When you read the New Testament, when you hear the New Testament taught on, purposely look in your Bible and notice the quotations from the Old Testament. Much of the New Testament is quotes and references about the Old Testament, teaching us then that we need to know about it. You'll be amazed at the amount of Old Testament scriptures that make up the New Testament scriptures. And so this teaches us that God has ordained this. He's ordained the Old Testament to instruct us. So we can't be ignorant of the Old Testament. We can't divide our Bibles and, well, I'm a New Testament Christian, therefore I focus my attention on the New Testament. And number six, studying the book of Judges will encourage us to see that God is still at work in the midst of spiritual decline. God is always at work in the midst of apostasy, idolatry, and compromise. And through the darkest of times, God is accomplishing His purposes. And this will be something I hope will be an encouragement to you as we study this book. Often we become discouraged when we're surrounded by unbelief and compromise. We look around us. Where is everyone? We look at what churches are doing and we are shocked. We look at the state of our nation and we wonder if there's any hope. We wonder if God is still on His throne. We wonder if evil men and compromise will continue to get worse and worse. We wonder perhaps if the devil has the upper hand. This is it. God's no longer going to bless. But studying this book will encourage us to see that God will not forsake His remnant. God does not forsake His people. God will raise up men who will be, quote, judges or reformers, prophets, voices in the wilderness like John the Baptist, to call his people back to a pure worship of God. And this, again, look at history. This is the story of revivals and reformations. This is the story of restoration. Peace can be known. Yes, we do relapse into sin, but those relapses are not everlasting. God will work. Stay faithful. Keep crying out to the Lord in prayer. We study this book to encourage our hearts to see, even in the midst of a sinful society, God is still working great miracles. God is still calling men to be laborers into his harvest, and God will not utterly forsake us. So let me then move to this real briefly, a brief overview of the book of Judges. What is it all about? The author of Judges has been attributed by Jewish tradition and scholars to the prophet Samuel. And the book's name, Judges, comes from the type of leaders Israel had in this particular period. Before there were kings, there were judges. And these judges were political, spiritual, and military leaders. The word judge means deliverer or savior. So in times of disobedience, God is going to raise up judges, spiritual leaders, to call the people back to God. The purpose of judges is to call the nation back to the pure worship of God as recorded in the Pentateuch, as was given by Moses when God created the nation of Israel to be his peculiar people, his special people. So that's the brief overview. It's God working, sending these men to call his people back into a pure worship of himself. And then let me, in the next few moments, say this. This is so important. There is, as I've already mentioned, a modern interpretive misrepresentation about the book of Judges. And most modern day commentaries and preachers view the judges as unspiritual scoundrels, rebellious rogues who were entirely consumed with their own will. One preacher during conversation told me that he was preaching a series on the book of Judges. And this preacher said, "The judges were a bunch of losers." Quote. I recently heard another preacher criticize Gideon as a weak, faithless man who is not worthy of imitating in the least. I can recall another preacher harshly condemning Samson for destroying the Philistines in the final minutes of his life. You'll recall that Samson is between two pillars. They've gouged out his eyes, and God asks the Lord for strength. His hair has been cut. He does not have his strength. He asks God for strength to take down the enemies and to take down himself even as he gets this victory. And I've heard one preacher just harshly condemn Samson for being so selfish. He only did that because he was concerned about his eyes and not the nation of Israel or the glory of God. But we ask the question, is this how we should interpret the judges? Were they a bunch of carnal compromisers, as the scholars and commentaries tell us? Well, the key question to ask here is, what does God say about the judges? What does God say about them? What is God's opinion about their character? Does God call them losers? Well, turn in your Bibles to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. Let's let the New Testament teach us about the Old Testament. Hebrews chapter 11. You know this already. I say Hebrews 11, you know this is the hall of faith. These are spiritual men and women who are given to us as examples. Hebrews chapter 11. Verses 32 through 40. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell you of Gideon and Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fires, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, this is God's word, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. God calls these men, these judges, people of faith. Not scoundrels, not carnal compromisers. God places them in the hall of faith as spiritual heroes, those who are worthy of recognition, those who stood firm on the promises of God, those who looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. And remember the beginning of Hebrews 11. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And so we can deduce by that that these were people who pleased God in some way. Were the judges sinless Christians? Well, you know the answer. And we will see that they were far from it. They had their imperfections and faults and failings, just as Abraham did. Just as Jacob did, just as Moses did, just as David did. Yet all these men are mentioned in the Hall of Faith. This new Bible interpretative method just slams the book of Judges. And they don't see Hebrews 11. They don't look at Judges through the light or lens of Hebrews 11. It's become this dark, mysterious book where it's just apostate. But I don't know about you, but knowing that these men, these judges are in Hebrews 11, these Hebrews 11 men are the judges, and the judges are Hebrews 11 men, men of faith, this encourages me. Those listed in Hebrews 11 were not perfect, and neither am I. I have not arrived. I worship and serve God with many spiritual deficiencies. Get the recording so you will know this forever. I often find myself relapsing, reforming, straying, regretting, compromising, confessing, just like those in Hebrews chapter 11. And my thought is, if God could use them despite their failings, surely God can use me in some way. And that's an encouragement to us. And don't lift up the people in Hebrews 11 as some super Christians, some spiritual saints that can never be touched. No, we've already heard through Sunday school class about Abraham and his many failings. And Sarah's laughing. We know about Jacob and his deceitful ways. We know about David and his failings, yet a man after God's own heart. Maybe it's our pride that makes us view the judges as rebellious rascals. Perhaps we fail to appreciate the judges because we are looking at them with a beam in our own eyes. We fail to see ourselves. But remember, it's so important as we study people like Peter. Can't throw them under the bus. We're like Peter. The judges, we're like Abraham. We're like Jacob. So be alert of such faulty hermeneutics, bad biblical interpretation. And I once thought, because that's how I was taught, that the judges were some wicked, sinful compromisers. And somehow God just let them get by with doing great things. We need to be diligent to be like the Berean Christians in Acts 17:11. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they searched the word daily with all readiness of mind to see if what they were hearing was so. And we need to think when we read something in a commentary, in a book, when we hear something preached, we need to test it, prove it, hold fast to that which is good. Don't take it as truth just because somebody says it. Examine it, prove it. And again, it's just this one simple thing. I've heard judges, they were selfish and they were carnal, they were worldly. And then to see it, their names in Hebrews 11, that puts things into perspective. Maybe they're not as worldly as we make them to be. And let me say under this too, we should be more concerned about what God says than what men think. And we can fall into theological error if we put scholastics over the simple truths of Scripture. And this is a simple truth of Scripture there in Hebrews 11. They were men of faith, not perfect, not sinless, but they were men who are examples. So let me conclude here with just a couple of things. That's the overview. That's the introductory message. Well, I've got to leave you with something to take home, right? So let me give you two concluding applications. First, as we've talked about, the overall of the book of Judges. Know this. God is faithful and in control over all. God is faithful and in control over all. Judges are rulers. The word is they were deliverers. They were saviors. But who is the greatest deliverer? Who's the greatest savior? Who's the greatest judge? It is the one who's over all. The one who's over the judges. It is God. The only wise potentate. The King of kings and Lord of lords. It is the Holy One, the Sovereign God, the Creator and Sustainer of all. And though we may be outside of the realm of peace and prosperity in our lives, in our church, in our nation, we can keep praying, we can keep working, we can keep expecting God to work because He is over all. 2 Timothy 2:13, if we believe not, yet He abideth faithful. He cannot deny Himself. Take that with you tonight. If we believe not, yet He abideth faithful. If Israel believeth not, God is still there. God is still working. He cannot deny Himself. His promises don't fall to the ground. His promises are not undone by men or societies. God is faithful and in control over all. And then also, God is merciful and willing to forgive. And we'll see this as a theme in Judges. They're down. Does God put His arm out and say, no, you're not willing, you're not worthy of forgiveness? No, He forgives. They repent, they return, He restores. They stray, they repent, they return, God restores. What a great promise for our life. God is merciful and willing to forgive. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Never forget that. Don't let Satan tempt you to think, well, you've sinned, give up, don't confess. No, Proverbs tells us, those who confess and forsake shall have mercy. Those who cover their sin will be destroyed. They will not know mercy. But those who confess and forsake, as those in Judges, will know peace. And when the people of God returned to the Lord, there was peace. In our spiritual lives, we will only know peace when we return to the Lord, when we seek to have fellowship with Him. We will not know peace in our lives if we stay at a distance from the Good Shepherd, the Prince of Peace, Jesus Christ. Proverbs 24:16, for a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. There's Judges falling, rising, falling, rising. There's the nation of Israel falling, rising, falling, rising, falling, rising. That's the parable to Peter. How many times should we forgive, Lord? 70 times seven. An infinite amount. Why? Because that's how God forgives us. An infinite amount. If God should mark iniquities, who should stand? but there is mercy with the Lord, so that he might be feared. That's our introduction for the book of Judges. I hope it's a help before we dive into the Word of God in this book next week. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our time together, and thank you, Lord, for your precious truths, the truths of your Word. Help us to delight in them. Help us to have ears to hear what the Spirit would say to us, specifically, individually. You know where we are at in our spiritual conditions. You know where we are at as a church. You know what we need specifically. So we ask that you would guide our thoughts. Lord, we pray that you would lead us into the paths of righteousness for your name's sake. We desire to live for you. We desire to be holy and sanctified, growing in the grace and knowledge of Christ. Please, Father, we pray that through this study, you would draw us to yourself as we seek to draw near to you. And Lord, give us a passion for the glory of God as we recall your faithfulness and grace and willingness to forgive. Lord, may we see you high and lifted up. May we stand in awe of who you are. And Lord, may we respond to your grace and mercy by living a life that is true and honorable before you. Thank you, Father, for our church family. And we pray, Father, your blessing on us in Jesus' name. Amen.